in free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. I'm still at the Mises University Summer Program at the Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. So once again, for the program today, we've got an interview I did while hosting the Peter Schiff Show, which you can listen to Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern at schiffradio.com. In this interview, I'm talking to John Popola. Now, if that name rings a bell to you, it's because he was the guy, I suppose with Russ Roberts as well, behind those unbelievable Keynes Hayek rap videos. And if you haven't seen them, that probably sounds like a terrible idea. But I assure you, they are astonishingly good. So I want to talk to him about that, about what he's up to right now, and that's exactly what we did in our conversation on the Peter Schiff Show. So we've got some bumper music here where you can hear a little bit of the work, the Keynes Hayek work that John has done, and I turn it over now to myself on the Peter Schiff Show with John Popola.
The result of sticky wages.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Peter Schiff Show. Tom Woods filling in for Peter. Joined right now by John Popola. I just love the production staff here at the Peter Schiff Show, right? I mean, I say something, I mention a video, and bang, they got it right on there as the bumper music. Absolutely great. So glad to welcome John. John Popola is an award-winning video producer and director. He's worked for Spike TV, Nickelodeon, and MTV, as well as for several creative ad agencies. He's currently the president and creative director of Emergent Order, a video production firm that he co-founded based in Austin, Texas. You guys will know him best for those Keynes Hayek rap videos I mentioned before. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's your homework assignment for later. Go over to YouTube, type in Keynes Hayek rap, and join the community of millions who were blown away by something that when they first heard about it may have thought, you know, this really doesn't sound like all that good of an idea. And then they said, wait a minute, I am so glad to be proven wrong, and I'm so glad to welcome John to the program. John, welcome.
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me on.
All right, I want to talk about what you're doing now. I mean, I suppose, you know, every time, I don't know, I suppose every time Robert Plant gets on the radio, he doesn't want to talk about Stairway to Heaven, so likewise, we don't have to do the Keynes Hayek rap thing, but I want people to know what you're doing now, because when we saw the success of those videos, I think we all realized that there's tremendous potential here in this medium and with the internet to convey messages in ways that people are likely to understand and click on in the first place. I mean, I make a lot of videos, but it's just me sitting at my desk, and I get some views, and it's fine. But you're able to go at this on a whole other level. So tell us about what you've launched just within the past week. What's your current project?
Well, last week we launched a new show that we call Econ Pop. And as our host says at the beginning of the episode, it sifts through the haystack of popular culture to find the needle of economics within and then stab you with it.
Okay.
So think Siskel and Ebert meets Monty Python meets an econ textbook, and the idea was actually spawned out of I'd gone to see this, a movie over the summer called Elysium, which was basically Marxism in space, mm-hmm. and thought, you know, that movie was particularly sort of political and very heavy-handed, but I thought, wouldn't it be great to basically use movies like this and movies that have good economic ideas as a jumping off point to explain what are the underlying assumptions here in the world that you're seeing. Because I think for the average viewer that experiences movies and pop culture that have political and economic messages, those the fundamental ideas that are driving them, whether they're good or bad, aren't there and aren't accessible. And so all you see is sort of the filmmaker's vision of the results. And that's what we're trying to accomplish with Econ Pop, is actually dive into pop culture and find these stories, find these ideas, and then bring them to life in a way that that can help make it accessible. And it's a very simple show. It's hosted by Andrew Heaton, a comedian who's got a great sense of humor and a great wit about economics, which is makes him one of the most unique people in this galaxy. And it's going to be released bi-weekly on our YouTube channel on youtube.com/econstories.
Tell us about this first episode that you have here. Not everybody it may be familiar. I mean, most people probably are familiar with the premise of the movie Dallas Buyers Club, but maybe you can explain it, and then what is it? What lesson are you trying to draw from it? I suppose it's not terribly subtle in this case.
No, well, it's interesting. We're going to be having a number of movies and TV shows that we're going to be reviewing, but given the Oscars and given just how potent and how relevant economically and politically Dallas Buyers Club was, we thought it was a great premiere episode. So for those who haven't seen Dallas Buyers Club, Matthew McConaughey plays a Texan who contracts HIV and ultimately AIDS, and in seeking treatment, runs up against the regulatory roadblocks of the Food and Drug Administration pretty much at every turn. And it ends up being this very it's such an interesting mix of things. You have this main character who's really a fairly unappealing guy. So as a film, that's an interesting experience. And you get to watch him grow as a person by interacting. He ultimately interacts a lot with the gay community by virtue of starting a business selling alternative medicine for treatment, which he initially seeks out and discovers for himself. And so he really is the true arbitrager, the true entrepreneur, seeking out resources, seeing an opportunity in the marketplace where he can bring those resources to new people that need them, and delivering value for those people. I mean, that's what capitalism is. It's about creating value for others. It's why companies have customer service centers. I always find it kind of interesting when you think about public service or the public sector, talking about as if that's the only area of service, but fundamentally, capitalism requires that you service your customers and that you provide value to them or they won't show up. And so
you're preaching to the choir here. I'm always trying to make that point. Well, I mean, starting in elementary school, that's the theme you get, that you've got the evil robber barons who want to enslave you, and then you have the dispassionate crusaders after justice who are there in the various regulatory agencies, and the reality tends to be a teensy-weensy bit more complicated and, frankly, more interesting than this comic book version. Well, that's a pretty ham-handed segue, but I want to skip ahead, if I may, having mentioned comic book thing. I don't know if you're allowed to mention this, because there was a little bit of a shroud of secrecy involving who exactly was behind it, but I think I'm allowed to ask you this. If not, I've just ruined your career, but didn't you guys put out something involving crony capitalism? I'll leave it vague so that you can fill in any blanks you want to fill in.
We created and released, along with an organization called Generation Opportunity, a project called The Cronies.
Okay, so you are taking credit for that. It was murky for a while. Okay. All right, tell us about The Cronies.
So The Cronies is an attempt to bring 1990s style cartoon action figure toy lines to the world of actual operation of government in the real world, which is to say, it's not when a bill becomes law, the cartoon. It's when a powerful corporation and a lobbyist work together with big government to enrich each other. And our characters include Ariel Stryker for the military-industrial complex, Bancor the Prophet for the heavily crony corrupted financial sector, Captain Korn representing the bizarre continued set of subsidies for farm and agribusiness, in particular ethanol, which no one thinks is a good idea except for the government, apparently, and Parts and Labor, who sort of bring that cartel aspect of big labor to the table. And they're all led by Big G, who's got a mirror for a face because he claims to be us, and so you can see yourself in the face of Big G.
Nice. Now, listen, our producer is telling me right now that he was at CPAC over the weekend, and he says the cronies had a booth that he says was quite funny. Can you just tell us about that?
Oh, well, that must have been I personally was not at CPAC, but I'm sure our friends at Generation Opportunity, who are ultimately the force behind the cronies, were making hay with them. So.
Oh, yeah. He said they had a booth manned by big muscle guys wearing G.I. Joe-type uniforms, engaging people in stuff like tugs of war. It was funny. So are you able to give us, the Peter Schiff Show listeners, a sneak preview of maybe what your next episode might be, so that we'll be kind of in the know and we'll be the cool people?
Sure. Well, if your listeners have ever heard of public choice theory, which applies economics to politics, it's also, the shorthand is for public choices. It's politics without romance. So none of this public service stuff. It's what happens when self-interested people are handed the reins of power. What do they do with it? There's a Netflix original series which really brings public choice economics to life like nothing else, and really reveals what a house of cards the political system turns out to be. And so that's the least subtle hint.
Okay. Well,
ever delivered.
Well, John, I know this is not immediately relevant to you, but I was really pleased when my co-author Kevin Gutzman, he and I wrote a book called Who Killed the Constitution. And there's a scene in House of Cards where the Kevin Spacey character is standing there reading from Kevin's biography of James Madison. Like, of all the books in the universe he could conceivably have picked up, he picks up Kevin Goodsman's book on James Madison. Like, we're all just, like, I know nothing about this show, but I became an instant fan just on that basis alone. All right, we're gonna go to a break right now. And then when we come back, I want to continue this conversation, and I want to find out, how does John Popola become John Popola? I mean, we're talking here about how do we reach out to the general public, how do we take these ideas and make them appealing and interesting and draw people in, but what was it that worked for you? I want to start off with that when we come back. All right, we're talking to John Popola here on The Peter Schiff Show, the gold standard in talk radio, so don't go away.
Prepared to get schooled in my Austrian perspective.
We've been going back and forth for a century.
I want to steer markets.
I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates.
It's the animal spirit.
The place you should study isn't the bust. It's the boom that should make you feel leery. That's the thrust of my theory.
The Peter Schiff Show.
Recession, thanks to me, as you see, we're not in a depression.
Recovery, destiny, if you follow my lesson. Lord Keynes, here I come, line up for the procession.
We brought out the shovels and we're still in a ditch and still digging. Don't you think it's time for a switch from that hair of the dog? Friend, the party is
welcome
over.
Welcome back to the Peter Schiff Show, everybody. Tom Woods in for Peter. I'm not used to this different bumper music. I'm waiting for the, you know, Peter Schiff is the smartest guy in the world, all that bumper music. And then, wait, we're using John Popola bumper music today. Right, I got to jump in here. All right, we're joined today by John Popola. I want you to check out econstories.tv, where you can find out about all the stuff that we've been talking about today. You can watch the videos. You can get linked to the YouTube channel. But econstories.tv is probably the easiest way to check this stuff out. John, I gave you plenty of time, gave you the whole break to think over the course of your life and the turning points that occurred. So I want you to tell us how it is that you came to these views. I mean, you were working for MTV for a time, which, you know, so in other words, you weren't always in doing work that is ideologically driven. And yet something apparently got you to say to yourself, I want to spend my creative time promoting these particular ideas. So what was that?
Well, I think there's a set of things that really happened, and I think they happened for a lot of us, and so I think this is, I believe this is very much a shared experience. One was, as you get older, you start to pay attention to things. So, you know, I got married, I had a son, I bought an apartment, and so I had to learn about interest rates and about what it's like to manage a more complex financial life. And suddenly you're paying attention to what's going on out there instead of just your own personal career or whatever. The second thing is the presidential election was coming up, and I was already starting to – I kind of grew up as a pretty much a conservative. And I was starting to just read other things, and living in New York City and be exposed to a diverse group of people was really expanding my horizons and my thinking about a lot of things. And my cousin said, you know, you sound like a libertarian. Are you going to vote for Ron Paul? And I said, who's Ron Paul? And thus began...
Ah, there you go.
Thus began the Googling of Ron Paul back in 2007, and then watching him debate Rudy Giuliani you know, in those early years, and stand up for freedom and stand up for peace and tie these things together in an integrated way into classical liberal philosophy. And so I started to say, well, this man who's being ridiculed seems to make a whole lot of sense to me, and he's talking about some interesting and also some disturbing things, especially about the potential for a giant crisis. And so that brings us to the third event, which was the global financial crisis. The apartment I bought in Hoboken had gone up in value by an amount that didn't make any sense to me, and so I sold it and paid off a bunch of debt, and right at the peak, not enough to be set for life, that's for sure, but enough to at least reset the clock on the debt pile.
Wow, and, good for you, man. That's good.
So, you know, I'm not living large or anything like that, but I was very, you know, much paying attention on a daily basis to the collapse, and then paying attention to the aftermath, this bizarre rise of Keynesianism and the idea that you can spend your way out of a problem that's been driven by malinvestment and excessive spending and debt. And that was really what those sets of things were brewing and led me to create with Russ Roberts, Fear the Boom and Bust, the first rap video, the first Keynes versus Hayek rap video.
Now, once we get people watching these videos, then what do we do after? I mean, of course, a lot of people will just watch them and that'll be the end of it. And, you know, not everybody is going to become like you and me and obsessed with this stuff and fascinated and want to read all the time. But still, how do we grab them once? I mean, maybe this is what your podcast is for, as a follow-up to the videos themselves. But what kind of action item can we give them after they've seen this video? Look, did this blow your mind? Are you interested in this? Now here's your next step.
Well, I think that the Econ Stories site and project is really an effort to try to bootstrap a little more support and a more consistent set of content for people that discover these things. But I think even more broadly, we don't really know, right? I mean, it's an emergent order. So I've gotten multiple emails from students who have seen the videos in a class and turned around and said, I changed my major to economics because I saw your video, it got me interested, and then I got hooked, because econ's a little bit like a virus, it infects you. Now, I don't know whether they're going to get good economics when they...
Right, but they'll probably... Right, but they've at least got the sense of what good economics looks like from you, and that's got to be extremely gratifying to know that you basically changed those people's lives, literally.
It is the most exciting thing that I've ever experienced, and that's part of why in 2011, even though I had a very exciting career in television and I have a lot of great friends in the business, and I'm always loath when people rail on the entertainment industry for any particular reason, because I just know so many great people in it, but that's why we started Emergent Order as a creative agency that, at least in part, tries to do more of this kind of work and seek out partners that are interested in, you know, delivering great ideas in a way that's more accessible to people.
John, because, we've got... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, Tom, you know, you've been at this for a long time. You know, one of the best books I've read on the crisis was your book Meltdown. It was so clearly written. It really laid things out. In fact, I would say for anybody out there who I know the financial crisis is 5 years out, looking backwards, but there's going to be another one at some point. Tom's book Meltdown is one of the best.
Well, I appreciate that. The foreword by Ron Paul didn't hurt.
Yeah, there's a lot of that book's ideas in Fear the Boom and Bust, because I read that book before working with Russ to write that. So it's it just shows you how these things feed on one another when you start to get engaged.
Now, John, this is probably not fair to ask you this, and we've only got about a minute and a half, or maybe a minute for you. But what did you think of the Atlas Shrugged movies as a creative guy? What was your opinion of them? I know you don't want to hurt people's feelings, probably, but in general, were they a success or not, artistically and otherwise?
Well, I'll have to make a confession as someone who self-identifies as a classical liberal. I have not seen those movies, and
oh,
I have not
okay.
read Atlas Shrugged.
Okay, fair enough. Well, listen, I'm just about out of time, unfortunately, but tell people again how they can get to the videos that you are making.
Well, the easiest and best way is to go to econstories.tv. So econstories.tv. Or you can visit the YouTube channel, youtube.com/econstories.
All right, great. John, it's a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck with this project. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, econstories.tv is your homework assignment for today. All right, everybody, before we wrap up here, let me remind you, we're still running a 50% off deal at libertyclassroom.com, where you can learn the history and economics they didn't teach you, plus ask this faculty anything you want to for a year. And we're doing it with coupon code Kevin in all caps to celebrate Kevin Gutzman's new course for us. So if you go to libertyclassroom.com, you type in Kevin in all caps in the little coupon code area, and click apply, you'll see the 50% discount taken on the screen. So check that out. Coming up over the next 2 days, I don't know what the order is, but one day it's going to be Tom DiLorenzo, who's a favorite guest of this program, and the other day it'll be Joe Salerno, academic vice president of the Mises Institute, where I am this week. So with Tom, we'll be talking about his book, Organized Crime, The Unvarnished Truth About Government. And with Joe, we're just going to do an Austrian potpourri. So tune in this week. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher. Make me happy by doing that. Thanks for spreading the word. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.